Good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, May 6th. God, feels more like February 6th, doesn't it? Man, it's a chilly out there, but we're getting warmer. In fact, kind of heard the plan from some folks that they're actually out planting today, and they're starting with the small grains and just going to keep going and then transition into corn. And thinking the transition will probably happen this weekend as the temperatures are warming up. But right now, that forecast sure looking fairly decent here into early next week. The National Weather Service has got temperatures maybe 60s, 70s on Monday and Tuesday. Cross our fingers. Well, we're going to be doing some more checking around the region. We're going to visit with Rick Swenson. He is a corn product specialist for Peterson Farm Seed, but he's also an agronomist in western Minnesota. And literally just got down off the phone with him not that long ago, and he was telling me in central Minnesota, west central Minnesota, there might be a few folks that may be done or close to being done. That's something you can believe. We do have a check of the markets coming up at about 20 past, and then our friend Scott Center, SBNB Foods, is going to be joining us at 2:33. He's going to be off on another, I guess you call it a sales trip, but he's on his way to Japan tomorrow for their business, their food-grade soybean business. And Ed Kessel will be joining us, the past president of the North Dakota Grain Growers. That'll be coming up at 2:49. So anyway, let's go to northern Minnesota. And I'm assuming that there's no snow there. Brian Sorensen, who is on a mission today. I guess we can officially maybe say that you're getting things set for, you're the executive director for Minnesota Wheat, but you guys are a part of the Prairie Grains Conference, and you're already working on getting things set for next year. You are an eager beaver.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you finish one Prairie Grains Conference, and we take just a short break, and then we're back planning for next year. So we were just, we hold the program at the Alera Center in Grand Forks. Yeah. It's been there now 20 some years, I think, and they do a great job for us. So for those of you who've been to the Prairie Grains Conference, you know that they do a wonderful job. It's a great venue.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, we're always thinking about new things that we can do for the program to make it better and brighter. Yeah. And all those things.
So is it fair to say, can we officially say that it'll be back in Grand Forks at the Alaris it'll be 2026, but at the end of the year, basically.
That's right. So it's December 10th is the main day, and we have programs on the 9th as well, but that Thursday the 10th, and it's all set, and yeah, everybody mark their calendars.
Absolutely.
It's just around the corner.
It's actually one of my favorite shows, one of the early shows I term it as, because, you know, as well as I do, January and February gets crazy with different things going on in the ag world and even into March. But it's a fun early show. And you guys have actually done a really good job of cultivating the trade folk that are there. It's just a fun meeting to get into, and folks can come into that. That part, I believe, is open to the public, and you get to see a lot of vendors, folks maybe you hadn't seen for a few months.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we really do put a lot of emphasis on our exhibitors, sponsors. We want them to, you know, have a lot of, unchallenged time or whatever, free time, so that we have gaps in the programming, so that we get our producers out meeting with the vendors, and that's well received. We've been working to tweak that more and more every year, and everyone seems to like that.
Yep.
And so it's important, because some programs, you know, they have programs, you know, they are shows, they might have programs running constantly, and sometimes the exhibitors are thinking, hey, I don't have any unopposed time here
right,
or, you know, to meet new people. So we've always done well with that, but we've really been focusing to see how much more attention we can bring to those exhibitors. So
yeah,
anyone out there that's maybe our exhibitors in the past, thanks a lot. And anyone interested in exhibiting this year and being a sponsor, get in touch with us on our website.
Well, I can give you a testimonial, because I do a lot of shows, and I would say there's a fair portion of them that have been struggling in recent years. You're not one of them. Cranes is busy.
No, to pat ourselves on the back. Of course, Crean Birdall and I, you know, are the team at Minnesota Wheat, but we've had a couple of our major vendors, people in the ag world have said we're one of the top ag shows in the region. So we take that.
I would definitely agree with that, especially in the time frame that you guys are doing it. Here's the other thing. Maybe if there's any criticism from the trade folk, and I mean this kiddingly, maybe you could stop having such good guests. Because when there's a speaker going on, that room kind of goes vacant for a little bit, but it's a packed house right next door to, like, Daryl Richardson. I'll use that for an example. I'll look around and say, God, I was busy a moment ago. What's going on? Oh, Daryl's speaking. Never mind.
That's right. Yeah, this year we decided we put him in the afternoon, after lunch. And he's like, oh, no one's going to come see me. While we had like 400 people in the audience. So much for that.
Yeah, all good. Well, we'll be looking forward to that. Again, that's a ways off. We don't want to be thinking that far, but it's good to mention that Prairie Grains will be back at the Alaris Center this coming up in December. It does feel somewhat like December today, and I'm not kidding because it's cold, but there's people planting. So, Brian, that was one of the main reasons I wanted to check in with you, and you're positioned up in northern Minnesota and kind of eyes and ears up in that Red Lake Falls area, and obviously you're the executive director for Minnesota Wheat. So what are we thinking about spring wheat and the crop of 2026? I know it's early, but what have you heard so far and what have you seen?
Well, main point there, it's early as far as the weather conditions for planting. You know, the wheat is going in about half of the rate it was last year. USDA had pegged this at around 20% planted, which it's pretty a slow start for us. Usually we're up 35-40% by now. And some of the, you get north of Red Lake Falls, and some of the producers are just getting in the fields this current week. So it's a late year. The weather's been cold.
Yeah,
there's some issues. So. Well, we're excited, obviously, every year when the crop's going in the ground. We're hoping that it's a good year for our producers. Minnesota's coming off of back-to-back record yields for hardwood spring wheat. We were like 68.5 bushels to the acre 2 years ago, and this last year was 69, just a slight increase, but still an increase. And the breeders have been doing a good job, and we've had some good weather, and of course the farming practices continue to get better. So we're great to see that increase in yield, but every year is different, so hopefully we'll have a good growing season.
Well, the good thing is, and it may be partly because of the war, not quite sure, but wheat prices have been coming up even in the last month and a half. It's taken a good swing, so hopefully it'll keep going that way and help the wheat producers make more money. I'm curious, because of what's going on with the winter wheat in the South, I mean, they're absolutely getting clobbered because of drought and different things that are going on. And I know there are probably different uses for the different wheats, but will that put pressure? I mean, if we end up in the end being short, really short of winter wheat, will that put pressure on spring wheat and demand?
I really think it will. I don't think that the markets, and granted, I'm not a marketing person, so don't go buying any or selling futures based on my comments. But I don't think the market is fully taking into account the challenges they're having with the drought down in the southern U.S. wheat, harder winter wheat states. Some of my colleagues, of course, I'm involved with both on the grower side and the U.S. wheat side, and there's major concern. I mean, they're literally 80-some% poor to very poor rating on crops. And so I don't think the markets are fully, because they always say winter wheat, you can kill it 3-4 times and it still gives you a crop. I think everybody's kind of waiting to see here, but they're talking 3 weeks early harvest.
Yeah.
So the heat has pushed it that much.
Yeah.
So friend of good, not good for our
friend of mine went through Nebraska, and he said he swore they hadn't had a drop of rain there in like 6 months. I mean, it was so dry. And he didn't see anything green.
Really tough.
It's going to change, but it's too late, as that goes. Are you getting report? I'm assuming you will be following along. They have that, the winter wheat survey or the tour starting soon. Is that going on? Are you a part of that down in Kansas?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't remember the exact dates, but, I mean, they're basically bumping up against the winter wheat harvest in some of those states when you get down in Texas and Kansas, Oklahoma. But, yeah, that's coming up as well. So I haven't heard.
Soon.
I'm sure they're still going to have the tour, but, yeah, definitely.
We'll find out more.
Impacted down there.
Right. Okay. Yep. As far as the wheat world goes, and again, spring wheat is moving along. It's been planted. There's some planted. I know that the reports are out there, but I don't know how much I trust the USDA's reports and how far they've been. And,
yeah.
You know, but it's happening. What's your sense?
Interesting.
Are we behind?
Yeah.
Would you say for planting?
Well, you know, like I said, the USDA's prospective planting report came out at the end of March, and they predicted Minnesota spring wheat to be down like 5.7%, and so that puts us still over 1 million acres. But you know, and a lot of producers I've heard through the winter were kind of wondering how much spring wheat they would plant. But I think with these, you know, these increased prices we've seen, I mean, they're not phenomenal, but they're definitely strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that's probably going to may have producers plant a little bit more, especially with kind of how everything's kind of delaying for corn and soybeans. So
Brian Sorensen.
Stay tuned, I guess.
Yeah, well, keep right on it. Brian Sorensen, Executive Director of Minnesota Wheat. Well, Brian, I know you're busy. You're busy running today. You're nice enough to join us. Anything else we want to get the word out about, or maybe just catch up with you later this spring?